Stewardship, a Mission of Faith presents Gospel Reflection. Gospel Reflection is a one-hour weekly gathering with prayer and the breaking open of the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of those participating, lives are changed, renewed, and transformed. Please join with us now for this week's Gospel Reflection.
Are you whistle all wet? Ready to open with a prayer for us? At the beginning of this day, Father, as we gather together, we thank you that you're in our midst because you have said two or three are gathered together.
Yes,
there you
Father.
Are. And we thank you for the promises that come from you. Thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit and for his attesting to the fact that indeed, if we've trusted in you, we are children of God by faith. Thank you for that blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. And we look forward today to new insights, new understanding, new stories that will help us in our faith journey, that we will travel onward and upward to glorify you. So be here and make yourself known and bless each of us that we might be inspired by you through your word. Through Christ our Lord we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And do you mind telling me petition? Do you mind doing the prayer of Jesus for unity? Please, Lord, allow me to be gathered here in this room to be an instrument in the answer to your prayer of unity. So that each of us, united as one, may be a light that leads to you.
I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. They also may be in us. The world may believe in you sent me. And I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one, I and them, and you and me. They may be brought to perfection as one, the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them even as you love me.
Amen. With that, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts to kindle the fire of his love and draw us in wisdom and in truth. And so we'll begin in the inside cover of page one, and if everybody would respond in these talents. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful.
And you and Father, love.
Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And you shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of thy faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now the Litany of Humility. Would you mind leading us in the Litany of Humility?
Okay.
We'll respond in the right-hand column.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart.
Hear me.
From the desire of being esteemed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being loved.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being acclaimed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being honored.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being praised.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being preferred.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being consulted.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being approved.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being valued.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being humbled.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being despised.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being dismissed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being rejected.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being defamed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being forgotten.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being ridiculed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being wronged.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being suspected.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the resenting that my opinion is not followed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
That others will be loved more than I.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be esteemed more than I.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will increase in the opinions of the world, while I diminish.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be chosen, while I'm set aside.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be praised, while I'm overlooked.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be preferred to me in everything.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, though you were God, you humbled yourself to the extreme of dying on a cross. to set an enduring example of the shame of my arrogance and vanity. Help me this morning to learn your example and put into practice, so that humbling myself in accordance with the lowliness here on earth, you can lift me up to rejoice forever in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And with that, I'd like to pray each paragraph. We'll go around the clockwise. Do you mind starting us? And we'll do Pope Clement's prayer. Put the pen about 1084.
Lord, I believe in you. Help me to believe more firmly. I trust in you. Help me to trust more surely. I love you. Help me to love you more ardently. I am sorry for my sins. Help me to deepen my sorrow.
I worship you because I came from you. I long for you because you made me for yourself. I praise you, you as my ever-present helper. I call on you as my powerful protector.
Guide me by your wisdom. Correct me with your justice. Comfort me by your mercy. Defend me with your power.
Lord, I offer you my thoughts to be centered on you, my words to speak of you, my actions to do your will, my sufferings for your sake.
I want whatever you want, because you want it, the way you want it, and as long as you want it.
Lord, enlighten my mind, strengthen my will, purify my heart, and sanctify my spirit.
Enable me to regret past offenses, resist future temptations, overcome wayward tendencies, cultivate needed virtues.
Lord, in your goodness, grant me the grace to love you, to forget myself, to seek my neighbor's good, and despise the seduction of the world.
Teach me to obey those in authority, serve those under my care, look after my friends, and forgive my enemies.
Lord, help me to overcome pleasure by austerity, greed by generosity, anger by self-mastery, apathy by fervor.
Make me prudent in planning, unwavering in danger, patient in adversity, unassuming in success.
Keep me, Lord, attentive at prayer, moderate in food and drink, energetic in my work, firm in my resolutions.
Enable me to keep my conscience clear, my hearing modest, my dealings exemplary, and my life well ordered.
Lord, let me be alert to tame my natural instincts, foster the life of grace, keep your law, and win salvation.
Teach me how trivial worldly interests are, how momentous the kingdom, how brief temporal concerns are, how lasting life eternal.
Lord, help me to prepare for death, fear judgment, escape hell, and reach paradise.
Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And now for the gospel reading today comes from Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Do you mind reading the gospel?
No problem.
And then we'll just take a minute or two and reflect on it, just share freely what the Lord puts in your heart of how this affected you, like literally in your life today, spiritually, morally, and in the life of Christ.
We're going to hear from Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think on this, this is what every heart, every being in this room, in the world, wants to hear. We are the beloved Son in whom God is well pleased. I think some of this is reminding me too of
Mary hearing from the angel that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon her. And here the Spirit of God has fulfilled, has indwelled and filled the son that she bore because of her yes to God. Just a short reflection, but the hunger I think that we all have to be in that place with God, that we have that assurance within our hearts that we please Him. Could I take that just a little closer to heart, how important it is for us as fathers, human fathers, to bless our earthly sons. I think we all know and hear and come rub shoulders with men who, even whatever stage of life they're in, are still striving to gain the approval of their earthly fathers, and how that affects their life. How sweet it is as an earthly father to embrace your son and say, "Son, I'm proud of you," at all levels of life. We need that. Even as Christ in his humanity, and I was pondering a little bit what it must have been like at that moment in Christ, because he left all of the heavenly glory and stepped from a realm in which time does not exist and subjected himself to time, and what he laid down, and to be at this moment commissioned and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Certainly it's a great lesson on the Trinity. It's right there for us. But what that all meant, I'll never, my finite mind, I don't think can ever comprehend that. But the blessing of a father upon a son. Amen. It's a holy blessing. It's a holy blessing. And I guess my challenge to you as fathers, if you've got a son or daughter, if you haven't communicated that to your children, there's something lacking there. There's a holy kiss upon a life that is your legacy. Your legacy, I think, to transmit. My legacy to transmit.
Well said.
I think it's such a great parallel between this passage where he says, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then John in 1 John says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So God's goal is for us to walk righteously, and so he was going to give this testimony of allowing the baptism. And he also challenges us, as writer John does, that he's faithful to forgive us of our sins, because his goal is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's a cleansing testimony.
I think it's interesting that Jesus felt it necessary to be baptized, because he did not sin. But he wanted to set the example for us, to go before us, and to fulfill his mission. So for us to have our sins cleansed.
Can I ask a question right there? Why did Jesus, was Jesus just faking it just to show us as an example? So he was, but Jesus never faked anything, so he couldn't be faking it. So that means he needed to be baptized. But he doesn't need to be baptized.
But not for his sins.
Huh?
Not for his sins, because he was sinless.
He was being baptized. Baptism is the washing away of our sins, but it is also a dying to self. Jesus was dying to his self.
He was fully human.
He was saying, "I'm not going to live for my agenda. I'm living for the Father's agenda."
So that's the point I was trying to make. He is fully human, which I don't understand, and he's fully God, which I definitely don't understand. So he really doesn't need to be baptized, but he did. because he needed to surrender,
right,
as he was heading to the cross.
Right.
But not to fake it, to say, I just want to show you guys what to do later.
Right.
But I needed to further fulfill what of surrender to self. And I guess he's, because of the fully human side, he was showing us the reason he allowed himself to be fully human is to show us that he needed the Father. If he needs the Father, we do. At least I do this morning.
To me, this shows the sovereignty of God, and what it is the public proclamation of faith. It reminds me of what Paul said when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And the challenge is, am I ever ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Do I make a public proclamation of my faith? Do others see Christ in me, wherever I am, whatever I do? That's the challenge that comes to me out of this baptism. It's a public announcement. It's the first real significant. You know, he's saying to everybody around him, and they must all know about Jesus, hey, this is, I'm here, I'm in the world, and I do what I need to do to show you that I am indeed the Son of God.
You know, as I look at this is such a beautiful, beautiful lesson for each of us. Jesus came to John. Jesus comes to each of us and asks each of us to be instruments that he can use to perform great things.
Amen.
What does John say? Oh, Lord, I can't do that.
Right.
Lord, no, not me. You go save that. You go do this. You go do that. And Jesus said, no. And it says here, allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us.
Yes.
Us, plural. It's always Jesus working in us, through us, and with us to perform those beautiful works that God has prepared for each of us.
Amen.
And I think that is just so, I don't know, when I read this, I was like, wow. I mean, this is the example that I wanted to see that just helped me, that it's never me. It's always us. It's always Christ living in us, working through us, and doing all these beautiful things. And I think when Jesus allowed this to happen, it is, to me, an example. An example. Jesus did not need baptism, however, to fulfill all righteousness. As that guide for each of us to follow, he allowed it. Okay? He went under the water, and then when he came up, what happened? Three things when he came up. Number one, he showed us that baptism, Jesus was spiritually clean. He never sinned. That's what happens with us in baptism. Number two, the gift of the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Jesus showing us that gift comes upon us at baptism. And then number three, he was recognized by God as his beloved Son. And I believe that as we are cleansed of our sins and at baptism, we become part of that family of God. And again, they asked me this question about 9 months ago. What is that? What is a sacrament in the Catholic Church? And it's an outward sign instituted by Christ to receive grace. And this, when I read this, the Lord put on my heart, this is it. This is what we believe happens. It's an outward sign, baptism with water, instituted by Christ. Christ did this. Why? For each of us to follow his example. And what happens? We receive that beautiful, beautiful grace from God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the cleansing of our sins, and that recognition of God, that we're his beloved children. That's what I see. Yes.
I would contend as a number four, because after he was baptized, the heavens were opened to him.
Think of that. That's beautiful. That's not a contention. That's an add too.
Yeah. And as we walk in our baptism, the heavens are open to us as well, because spiritual things can only be spiritually discerned. But what really, one of the things that really grabbed me with this was the statement, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We go to the Gospel of John, we find out that this took place even before the miracle at Cana. So Jesus hadn't done anything. As we think of works, he hadn't performed any miracles, he hadn't done anything. And yet his Father said, this is my beloved Son. And that to me says, because we are sons of God, it says to me we are accepted just because we're sons of God through the blood of Christ. And God loves us just because we're sons. We don't have to work for his approval. So we need to live our lives out of that place of approval, not trying to earn approval.
You can't earn it.
We can't earn it, but we need to live out of that place of approval just because we're sons.
Beautiful. What else do we see?
Well, both of you said, that he doesn't need us. He doesn't need any of us because he's God. Yet he chooses to use us, to want us, to love us. That really makes him even more special because he could do it by himself.
He didn't need John.
Nope.
But he didn't correct John and say, you know what, John, I really don't need you, but I'm going to use you anyhow. He just allowed it to happen. It's beautiful. We continue to say our yes. What I see happening in you and your growth and my growth and many, many, many men and women that I've met, it's beautiful. God's using so many of us in so many beautiful ways. We continue to surrender and say yes.
Right, because it doesn't mean laying something else down many times to surrender to what he wants.
Amen.
What else do we see?
You know, as was said earlier, God, this is God and man together, and we can't comprehend that. But Jesus enters time. And as he enters time, he enters relationships, and he enters relationships with John the Baptist. I mean, this isn't a fake, nobody's faking anything here. It says, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. Jesus saw that. It's not as if, I mean, it's as if this is something that truly occurred in his temporal existence in this life. I don't know, it's part of the God-man thing. I don't quite understand it, but the fact is that he took on the flesh and went through this process just as we would, not to fake anything, but because that's what he did, becoming man.
I think it's neat that Jesus chose John for this special thing, and when John realized that he was being chosen, he said, no, I'm not worthy for this. I can't do this. And when Jesus comes to us and asks us to do things, I think oftentimes we realize we're not worthy. And sometimes by saying we're not worthy to do what he calls us to do, we simply don't do it. Instead of doing what John did and saying, okay, I will trust you. Even though I don't feel worthy to baptize you, I'm willing to do this because you're calling me to do something and it's going to glorify your kingdom.
Who doesn't want us to do those things that God has prepared for us? Who says, you know what, don't leave your job. Stay where you're at. That's a cushy position. You got a great paycheck. You're okay. You're doing just fine where you're at.
Mm-hmm. You know, this relationship is that relationship that began back between Mary and Elizabeth in the womb when they were still there. Mm-hmm. So there was it was not only that was the first physical connectivity in that process orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, but it was even foretold earlier by prophets in the Old Testament that there would be a forecaster for Christ. So this is an amazing next step in the relationship between where John is giving over his proclamation responsibility to Christ. It's a phenomenal evidence of the Spirit again.
And again, back to your point, I don't think we can take that lightly. The heavens are open to each of us. Amen. We need to knock. We need to seek.
Amen.
We need to ask. Mm-hmm. We need to look upwards. And I think that point that you brought out, number four, is awesome.
Amen.
Awesome, because they're open, waiting. I envision a tag team wrestling. They're waiting to help us. Tag, help me, Lord, please.
Amen.
I can't do this one.
They're not asking us to do something supernatural. They're asking us in obedience.
Amen.
We're to throw the stone, they'll hit the giant.
Amen.
Okay, but whatever we're to do is not supernatural, but it's obedience. But we can't see that, and we think it's supernatural. And we make it he says here to please God. You know, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We need to trust him, and that's a learning process. And that's what we're talking about here today. We're learning this together, that man, he really wants to use us, and he doesn't need us. What a joke.
Yeah. I think it was Mandela, I'm not sure, who said, we're not afraid because we feel how weak we are. We're afraid because of how powerful we are.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Lord, how much power there is in each of us.
To pick up on some of that, what I see and what speaks to me is looking at the entire picture of what happens. Put ourselves now in John's position. John is called to take action by Christ himself. He feels his unworthiness, and I think out of humility, not out of fear, out of humility, he claims he's not worthy. And Christ says, through me you walk. Do this anyway. And then when John steps out and takes the action, he was known for being bold. So this was not unusual for John. But John goes ahead, he stands up and he takes this action. And then what we all should be expecting and waiting for is what comes next. Is God himself manifests his presence through his voice to everyone there that this is my beloved son. Now at that moment, put yourself in John's place. Does John feel empowered to continue in his ministry, to continue in his walk? Does John now have an increased level of faith to go forward in all that he's being asked and called to do? I would say yes, tremendously. And we can all have that very, very same experience as we step out on faith and say yes and accept whatever command is placed upon us, you know, and no matter how risky or challenging it may seem, if we are centered in Christ, living and walking in his commands, we'll get that constant reassurance that this is in fact what we are being called to do and asked to do.
You know, it was interesting yesterday, you just shared that yesterday I was at Turkey Hill down the road here. And this is where we need to be bold, and we need to be the voice of the Holy Spirit, depending on those times. And this man was dropping the F-bomb and the foul language that it echoed off the walls as I was getting my hot chocolate. I actually spilled it on myself, and I'm like, you know what? This isn't right. And the fear in me in the past just kept me silent because, you know, I don't want to make a scene. I don't want to cause a trouble. And I turned and I said, excuse me, because immediately it's going through, there could be children in this store. You know, people don't want to hear this. And I said, excuse me, sir. I said, there are other people in this store. Could you please stop that language? And his initial reaction was that of, you know, why don't you get out of the store better? And the next thing you know, as I'm paying for my thing, I'm done paying, and I offer the lady a blessing. You know, I said, you know, God bless you. I turned, he's had to stand there the whole time while I was paying. So you never know how the Lord's going to use that moment in his life, because you challenged him. He was in public, you were in public, in a kind way, but with courage. And I just look at that and say, how many opportunities a day are we given where we silence the voice of the heart of the Holy Spirit? And so that just what happened yesterday.
Amen. Is in the Jewish tradition, when a young boy becomes of age of accountability and decides to be obedient to the faith, the father walks around with the son and proclaims publicly, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I don't know much about Jewish tradition, but I'm sharing from someone else's investigation of this. So Jesus, somewhere along the line, lost his earthly father. We don't know where Joseph ended up. We don't have history of that. Chapter before, he's being obedient and moving his family around and protecting them. But so this statement, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, is a Jewish statement that's used every day of the week as young men become of age and decide to be obedient to the faith, and their fathers are proud of them. They walk around the streets publicly proclaiming it. So it's unique that Jesus has his heavenly father do this for him, because his earthly father was not able to do that. So it's confirming the idea of passing on the blessing and acknowledging the obedience and humility that Jesus had. The Heavenly Father was honoring him.
We're not a very good culture at honoring, are we? I think we're a very good culture of picking apart. You think about how often do we go around telling people, you know, I really am blessed by this person, and give them a high five today.
Yeah.
That's true. It's said already that the Christians are the only army that shoot their wounded members.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because I read this scripture before I came, and I thought I understood it. And so I hear you men saying the things that, you know, just enlighten the whole process. It's really exciting to have that feedback.
So I think the word calls us to live naturally supernatural lives.
Sure.
It really does. You know, the word says that signs and wonders will follow after those who believe. The word says that we will do greater works than even Christ did. And sometimes those supernatural works are quiet little things, you know, like just speaking in love to somebody. And sometimes they're very dramatic things.
Amen.
You know, in the Lord's Prayer it says, as in heaven, so on earth. So in heaven, it's supernatural all the time. And so we're called to be ambassadors of Christ and to walk in that supernatural mindset, which is a spiritual thing. But I often try to picture myself praying in heaven. And I know I'm not in heaven, but I picture myself praying in heaven down to the earth to try to and I ask the Lord to give me that kind of a mindset where I can see what His will is for any given situation.
Amen.
So that I can naturally be supernatural. Mm. And it's not by us, it's all by the Spirit. But it's a mindset that we need to cultivate in ourselves, because our flesh doesn't want to do that at all. Because every time we meet a situation that needs a supernatural answer, the world is saying, it can't be done. Don't go there. You know, the enemy is all over us. But we need to learn to live this naturally supernatural life.
Amen. I love the example you give to all of us by daring to aspire to great things for the sake of the kingdom of God. How many times in what I think ultimately is not intentional, but inadvertently false humility, that we think ourselves not worthy of performing miracles. And that runs contradictory to the command of Christ, the promises of Christ throughout the Gospels to go as He sent the various missions, you know, or sent His apostles on various missions to go and perform these works. And time and again, He admonished them for their lack of faith. And the world loves to keep us in, again, what I call false humility, this belief that we are not empowered by God and God's representative on earth. And I just love the example you give of putting yourself in that position to aspire to joining with God, teaming with God. And I understand in real humility, not being equal with God, but using God's power,
I mean, yeah,
as He channels it through you to call blessings upon, you know, the world and whether it be your small part of it or the world at large.
Amen.
He says, you have not because you ask me.
Amen.
I have no problem doing what God wants. It's working with people.
But that's what God wants.
we talk about the world, but I'm learning that right inside the spiritual journey of the church and the people that I work with and live with. And Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron.
Mm.
And when there's sparks with that, and if you don't all agree with me, then I'm going to go home, or I'll start my own church. And what happens is, I'm learning something right now, that the only way I'm really growing spiritually is when I start hearing things I don't agree with, or things that are different than what I was raised, or different than, and within, I find that sometimes we don't all agree. Where two or three are together, there's arguments. And and so in that process, I'm trying to figure out, maybe God put you into my life to sharpen me. He says, I came in here with my thinking, and then you guys started changing some leaf thought pattern of checking into it, or at least digging into it. And you guys are helping me grow spiritually this last year, and why I want to be here. Not because I agree with every one of you. I don't even agree with my wife. But I'm finding that the people that I'm learning from people that I don't all have we all get a little kumbaya Bible study and we all just agree on the same thing all the way through. Sometimes we need to sharpen each other and challenge each other, and I think you guys are doing that for me, and I appreciate it.
Can I just reflect?
No.
Okay.
you don't need to ask a question for that, but you better ask it anyway. So.
We were created.
I'm sharpening you.
We were created as spirit beings that have a soul and a body. And when God created us, he meant for the spirit to be in control over the soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and over our body. Where we get in trouble is when we allow our emotions, our mind, and our bodies to take precedence over the spirit. When the spirit is in control, then the soul and the body will follow. When we allow the body or the soul to be in charge, then the spirit loses its punch, it loses its power. So our job is to continually be before the Lord and say, Lord, let your spirit guide me moment by moment. Paul said, I die daily. I say, I die moment by moment. Because if the spirit's not in control, then I'm going to make the wrong judgments. Our thoughts are far lower than God's thoughts. You know? So when we allow our intellect or our will, our own desires, to control the situation, we get in trouble. We need to submit ourselves all the time to the Spirit's leading.
What you just said is incredible. And if you understand the mind, emotion, and will, that trichotomy there, the center of that is the Spirit, the heart of our personality. And when sometimes the way we were raised, I mean, if I'm in the middle of a big law convention of lawyers, and I'm sitting there, and there's thousands of guys there at a convention in Philadelphia. And while I'm sitting there, God says, go up on the platform and share. I probably won't do it. Not because it's not spiritual or not, but it's just sometimes my inadequacies keep me from doing some of God's will in my life. And I think you're right on target. It fights against my spirit. And what we need to do is make sure that he has our center of our personality.
Because he says... If you'll be obedient, I'll put the words in your mouth. That's what the Holy Spirit says.
Coming back to the brother that was sharing on false humility, I think that the battle for each one of us in this room is we have to overcome, this is how that person lives supernaturally, and they completely failed, so I don't want to do it. So we look at bad examples, and they paralyze us. Mm-hmm. And then you can enter into false humility because you say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, not doing that... Is if God's calling you to do it, is false humility. And again, I think that's we've had plenty of examples of how people have fallen off we call it the wagon in all kinds of ways. But God's asking us. So John the Baptist right here that was the theme that was just said so many times. But he could have talked himself out of this, and Jesus didn't let him. He says, "There's a purpose here. I've called you to do this, and no, you need to do it." And you can walk into situations and you can see where people failed and go, no, I'm not going to do it because people don't do this very well. And he gives us the grace. I feel like he's given us in this generation the grace to recover things and do things where others have failed and still do it with love and humility. Like he said, brother, I mean, sometimes the greatest miracle I'm going to have is to love the person that's making me crazy today. And I'm going to get through the day and I'm going to love them. That's going to be my miracle for the day. Tomorrow it might be... Who knows how the grace of God can do it, but the healing of somebody through a prayer. So, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks to each of you for sharing. Each time I come to these meetings, I go away filled with just delight because of the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit is here, and no man's really excited to be a part of it.
At this point in our gospel reflection meetings, we invite those present to share requests for prayer that God has laid on their hearts, and then we pray for those requests. We encourage you at this time to pause this recording and pray for those people and circumstances that the Lord is bringing to your mind right now. Once you have finished praying, please restart the recording and join us in our closing prayers. Please pause this recording now.
Okay, first let's do the Lord's Prayer.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And for those of you who feel comfortable with the Hail Mary.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
We hope that your life has been enriched by listening to the recording of this edition of Gospel Reflection. If this recording has helped you on your faith journey, please prayerfully consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For information on locations, times, group startups, phone participation, CDs, DVDs, and downloading, please visit our website at www.stewardshipmission.org and click on Gospel Reflection Groups. While visiting our site, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making your tax-deductible donation. Thank you, and may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.